Welcome to the Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Trucking Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Trucking, Avery Weiss. As Avery presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading the PDF or PowerPoint of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF and PowerPoint is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads for the Trucking Market Update, as well as the weekly Rail Market Update with Todd Tronowski and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Welcome to FTR's weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 215 for the week of May 29th, 2023. Before we start, a reminder, you can download a PDF with graphics related to this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. Let's get into the data, starting with a look back at the first quarter of this year in terms of revenues for the trucking industry and also for parcel and local delivery. For Hire Trucking's revenues in the first quarter continued to fall sharply on a not seasonally adjusted basis from the all-time high posted in the second quarter of last year. Revenues fell 6.1% quarter over quarter and were down 2% year over year, according to advanced data from the Census Bureau. The industry, by the way, had not seen a negative year over year comparison since the third quarter of 2020. Couriers and messengers, which are more commonly known as parcel and local delivery, at least by us, saw revenues in the first quarter fall 2.4% compared with the first quarter of last year. That sector had not seen a negative year-over-year comparison in unadjusted revenue in more than 12 years. Revenues were down 10.1% quarter over quarter. That is the largest drop in revenue since 2019's first quarter. The Census Bureau will publish more granular and also seasonally adjusted revenue data on June 9th, covering the general freight and the specialized sectors of the trucking industry, as well as the overall numbers. Okay, let's talk about diesel prices, which fell for the sixth straight week and for the 16th week out of the past 17. The national average price of diesel declined 2.8 cents to $3.85.5 a gallon during the week ended May 29th. That 2.8 cent in decrease, by the way, is exactly double the drop we saw in the prior week. Prices on average fell in all regions. The national average price is down nearly 77 cents over the past 17 weeks and almost $1.96 since hitting a record in June of last year. Crude prices continue to hang around $70 a barrel. Diesel prices do not seem to be reacting, meanwhile, to tighter inventories the way they did about a year ago and again in October of last year. At least they're not doing so yet. U.S. distillate stocks are at their lowest level since October. As we discussed last week, the principal culprit is the Midwest. Distillate stocks in that region fell further in the latest week and are now at their lowest level since November 2017. Now, one way to reconcile lower prices with those lower stocks would be lower demand for diesel, but that's not what the data shows. The amount of distillate supplied per day has been volatile, but on a four-week average basis, it stands at the highest level since mid-November. And by the way, the four-week average for production is rising. Okay, let's talk about the spot market for the week ended May 26th, that is week 21 of the year. Total spot market rates for the truck stop system during the week added to the international road check induced spike that occurred during the previous week, but not all segments saw an increase. Broker posted rates for dry van and flatbed equipment saw modest further gains, but refrigerated rates retreated somewhat. However, refrigerated also saw a much larger surge in rates during road check week than did dry van and flatbed. Okay, let's look more closely at rates. The total broker posted rate increased just over 1 cent after the prior week's gain of just over 7 cents. The total market rate was about 22% below the same week last year, but still just barely 0.3% above the five-year average. This week's rate increase during road check, or this year's rate increase during road check week, was basically the same as it was during last year's road check week. However, when we look at the week after road check, this year was not as strong as the increase of more than 4 cents last year. A key difference, as we will discuss, is that rates rose in all equipment types during 2020 or during week 21 last year. But as I already highlighted, and we'll talk more about now, that was not the case this year. Okay, let's look at the segments. Dry van spot rates increased 3.5 cents after jumping more than 16 cents during road check week. Rates, which in the latest week were above $2 a mile for the first time since week 11, are about 20% below the same 2022 week and nearly 7% below the five-year average. Refrigerated spot rates fell to 5.6 cents after surging 29 cents during road check week. Rates continued to rise the week after the 2022 international road check, but they fell even more sharply than they did this year during the week following the 2021 road check. Refrigerated rates were nearly 15% below the same 2022 week and nearly 5% below the five-year average for the week. Flatbed rates increased nearly 3 cents after rising 4 cents during road check week. The increase is similar to the one following the road check week last year, but the road check week increase had been much larger in 2021 than it was this year. Rates were almost 25% below the same 2022 week, but still more than 2% above the five-year average for the week. Let's look at volume. Total load activity decreased about 8% after jumping more than 22% during road check week. Volume was about 46% below the same week last year and more than 17% below the five-year average. Load activity declined in all regions, although the decrease in the Midwest was only 1%, and that was due primarily or almost totally to an increase in flatbed loads week over week. Okay, let's look at the segments quickly. Dry van loads fell about 6% after jumping nearly 28%. Volume was almost 41% below the same week last year and nearly 11% below the five-year average. Refrigerated loads fell 15% after spiking 37% during road check week. Volume was 48% below the same week last year and about 17% below the five-year average. And flatbed loads fell nearly 8% after rising almost 18% during the prior week. Volume was more than 51% below the same week last year and more than 25% below the five-year average. Okay, let's wrap up the weekly data with a look at mortgage rates. We haven't talked about mortgage rates much recently because they haven't done much. For about 5 weeks, they've hovered around 6.4%. In the latest week, though, we saw a notable, though not especially alarming, increase of just under 0.2 of a point to 6.57%. Now, that is the highest level we've seen for mortgage rates since, I believe, the middle of March. Freddie Mac attributed the strength not only to the resilience of the economy, but also fears that the U.S. would not increase the debt ceiling. Now, we haven't really talked about the debt ceiling and the potential for a U.S. default on its debt in this podcast. My thought was you're probably hearing and reading plenty of that in the business media and in broadcast media and in the newspapers, if there are still such things. But it is worth noting that there was a compromise over the weekend on the debt ceiling between the White House and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. However, as I'm recording this podcast, there is no guarantee that that compromise will pass both houses of Congress. And even if it does, it is going to be extraordinarily close. Anyway, since we're talking about the housing market, well, we were talking about the housing market before we started talking about the debt ceiling. Let's stay there and talk about sales of new homes. Sales of new single-family homes rose by a solid 4.1% in April, but that gain followed a downward revision of the preliminary March estimate. And in fact, the annualized rate of 683,000 new homes for April was the same as the initial March figure. New home sales have now risen month over month in six of the past 7 months. They were up nearly 12% year over year in April. We had not seen a positive year over year comparison since February of last year, and that comparison was only 1%. The supply of new homes at current sales rate continues to fall from its post-Great Recession highs that we saw in the second half of last year. The 7.6 months supply is still high compared to the typical inventory levels in the 2010s, however. The median price of a new home sold in April fell 7.7% to $420,800. That is down more than 15% from October's record, but it is still nearly 27% higher than the median in February of 2020. Home prices generally have been easing. That should help generate additional sales. But as we noted in last week's podcast, the median existing home price actually increased slightly in April. Okay, let's look at consumer spending. Adjusted for inflation, real consumer spending increased 0.5% seasonally adjusted in April after holding steady in March. Real spending was up 2.3% year over year and was more than 8% ahead of February 2020. For the second time this year, spending on goods outpaced spending on services. Real spending on goods was up 0.8%, while real spending on services was up only 0.3%. Spending on goods were up 1.5% year over year and 17% versus February 2020. Services spending was up 2.7% year over year, which is stronger, but it was only up a little over 4% versus February 2020. Fueled primarily by motor vehicles, real spending on durable goods rose 1.4%. Spending had been down 1.1% in each of the prior 2 months, but that followed a jump of just under 7% for durable goods spending in January. As was the case in April, that was driven largely by the automotive sector. Real spending on durable goods was 2.6% higher than it was in April of last year, and nearly 29% higher than February 2020. Real spending on non-durable goods increased 0.4% in April. That spending was up just 0.8% year over year, but it was nearly 11% higher than February 2020. The Bureau of Economic Analysis updated earlier estimates of personal income and spending for October through March, and one of the consequences was a downward revision in the personal savings rate. We've actually seen quite a few of those revisions, and this one was fairly significant. The initial March estimate had been a 5.1% savings rate, which is well below the typical 7 to 9% that we saw during the 2010s. In the latest data, though, the savings rate for April was down a full point from that initial March estimate, and it was down from 4.5%, which is the revised estimate. So if we look at March versus March, we were down just over 0.5% or 0.5 point in the savings rate after the revision. Okay, while we're talking about the consumer sector, let's look at retail inventories. Advanced figures show that total retail inventories barely budged in April, ticking up just 0.2% seasonally adjusted. However, retail inventories of motor vehicles and parts rose 1.2%. Now, that's not too surprising given the spike in automotive production in April that we discussed in last week's podcast. Excluding motor vehicles and parts, retail inventories actually declined, although only by 0.1%. Preliminary estimates show little change in inventories relative to sales. The inventories to sales ratio for total retail and for retail excluding automotive each ticked down 0.1 point. Although retail inventory inventories for automotive are far less lean than they were a couple of years ago, they are still far leaner than they were before the pandemic. However, the ratio for retail excluding motor vehicles and parts has largely normalized. Finally, today, let's look at an indicator of demand in the manufacturing sector. As is often the case, the aircraft sector distorted the overall figures for manufacturing orders in April. Usually it's commercial aircraft, but this time it was military. Total new orders for durable manufactured goods rose 1.1% seasonally adjusted, but a jump in orders for defense aircraft and parts of nearly 33% more than accounted for that gain. If we exclude the transportation equipment sector, new orders actually declined 0.2%. Although durable goods orders were broadly weak, new orders for core capital goods, that's non-defense capital goods excluding aircraft, increased 1.4%, and that's the strongest gain since December of 2021. New orders for core capital goods were more than 41% higher than they were in February 2020, but the Census Bureau data is not adjusted for pricing. Now, we conducted our own adjustment of that data, and we have been doing so for several months, and we use the Producer Price Index for private capital equipment to do so, as that seems to be the closest we can get to a Producer Price Index adjustment of core capital goods data. That data shows that inflation-adjusted orders are only slightly higher than they were during February 2020, and that sort of puts it on par with what we're seeing with overall manufacturing output. Okay, let's recap some key takeaways for the week. Trucking revenues continued to fall in the first quarter. Diesel prices fell for the 16th time in the past 17 weeks. Spot rates were mixed in the week following International Road Check. Mortgage rates are at their highest level in more than 2 months. Sales of new homes saw a solid gain month over month, but prior month data was revised downward. Real consumer spending on goods rose in April. Retail inventories were very slightly leaner relative to sales. The savings rate is a bit weaker following a data revision. And core capital goods orders rose 1.4%. Next week, we'll dig into the labor market with a look at job openings for April and the employment situation report for May. Plus, as usual, we'll recap.
That's it for this week's Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast.
For truck freight. That's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update, episode 215 for the week of May 29th, 2023. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we hope you will join us next week.
You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF and PowerPoint of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.